You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM on a Wednesday. We got a big show coming up for you here today. A lot to get to. As we take it through the 3 o'clock hour, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass here on the Gym Class. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at DuPaco.com. Mark Ironside to talk college wrestling and Hawkeye wrestling with us coming up in just a little bit. We will talk to Chris Liss as well from Real Man Sports and RotoWire.com. Get his thoughts about fantasy football. Your questions welcome for Chris. Presented by presented by Imon Communications. That'll be coming up just past the bottom of the hour at 319-366-1600. We got a Bowling Night in America preview. Iowa State women tonight from Carver Hawkeye. We've got it for you. We'll join it just ahead of the tip-off at 6 o'clock this evening. And a look back on Iowa and Duke from last night. You'd like to comment on all or some of what you just heard. Love to hear from you on the text line or the phone line. You can pick up the phone, give us a call, 319-366-1600. Text line also 319-366-1600. Happy Wednesday to you, Mr. Mark.
You as well, Scott, and good afternoon to everyone out there. Yeah, it's my cheat sheet is full today. Plus two guests.
Cup runneth over with things going on. Right there, and not to mention baseball signings. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you. That'll be toward the bottom of the hour here as we go through the 3 o'clock hour here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Their new football coach for the Big Ten West. We'll get to more information and more news as far as coaching around the country and the Big Ten as well coming up, but Jeff Brohm, not all unexpectedly, announcing that he is going back to his alma mater, the University of Louisville, or Louisville, as they say, a little bit more to the south. He will take over the Cardinal program in the ACC, which means Purdue will have the third new coach for what appears to be the final season of the Big Ten West next year.
Yeah, it's not surprising to me, considering that's where Brohm is from. He said now is the time to get back home. Some feathers were ruffled by the way he handled it.
There's no handbook on how to handle it.
There's no handbook for coaches or players who might enter the transfer portal, whatever. Brohm issued a statement, an email, whatever, and said he'd meet with his team in the next couple days. Fine. Fine.
I'm sure people that went into the transfer portal didn't let a lot of people know prior to it.
So, not all.
As well. So, you know, it is what depending on what side of the fence you're looking at it.
Brohm's done a nice job at Purdue. He really has.
Well, he's been a thorn in the side of the Iowa Hawkeyes for the better part of his tenure there. Now, this year, of course, things did not go well in West Lafayette, especially when the train breaks down on the way out, you know you're going to have a bad day, and that's exactly what happened at Ross-Ade Stadium over there in West Lafayette. But yes, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, all with new coaches in the Big Ten West coming up for next year. 3:08, let's get to last night at Madison Square Garden as Iowa and Duke met. It did not start at 8:30, we know that for sure, after Illinois went to overtime to take care of business against a very good Texas team. Duke coming away with a 74-62 victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes, a game that really Duke had, I think, I'm fair to say, in hand for most of the at least the final 30 minutes, Mark, last night. Iowa made a couple of pushes to get it close and ended up a 12-point game at the finish. But you and I both said yesterday, and again, for the umpteenth time, basketball, more than any other sport, is a sport of matchups. This was a bad matchup for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Is this going to absolutely derail Iowa? No. Is it, in my opinion, going to help Iowa in the end? Absolutely. When you go up against a team that is longer than you, probably more athletic than you are, they are more athletic than Iowa, it's going to help you down the stretch. This was better than playing two directional schools. And now the big question is, can Iowa turn around in now less than 48 hours from that game and take on Iowa State at Carver tomorrow night? That's a bigger question.
Yeah, it was sort of a clunker for Iowa, but once again, it's Duke. It's not North Carolina A&T. Okay, you have to remember that. But Iowa shot it poorly from the field, from three-point range, from the free throw line. Whether that's an outlier or a theme for this team, we shall see. Chris Murray, kind of an ordinary player last night, and Duke had a lot to do with that. 8 points on 9 shots for Chris Murray, but 3 of 16 from three-point range. That's not going to get it done. I do think, once again, despite facing a taller team, Philip Rabracha brought some big energy for this team.
He did. He did bring some energy to that game last night, and he was going up against 3 7-footers last evening. Duke did what we thought they would. They went into the paint. They scored inside. I really thought we were going to see more of Josh Ogundele. Played in the first half. Didn't get in there a whole lot in the second half, if at all. I thought Bowen did a good job.
Asante Bowen was good.
He may have been the MVP of that game besides Rabracha last night. Right now, this team is just not shooting the ball well from the outside. We know that Peyton Sanford is in a slump right now. There's no denying it. But you look at the positives. You only turned it over 7 times against a really, really good opponent. You kept the game at least close, if you will. Iowa was not going to win that thing down the stretch. We know that. But they didn't get beat by 25 or 30. But 3 of 16 from three-point range. That's not going to win you very many games, and they're going to have to shoot it better tomorrow night.
Yeah, you talk about Duke's front line, and it was solid, but it was Jeremy Roach, the guard, who was really good. 22 points, only 1 turnover in 37 minutes. He might have been the difference in the game. He was really good.
Filipowski is good, too. Mm-hmm. He had a double-double, 12 and 10. Wasn't great from the field at 5 of 15. It's not a Duke team that's going to beat you from the three-point line. It's just not. That's kind of their MO over the last couple years. It's their makeup again this year. 319-366-1600. Duke looked impressive and was physical. Iowa was going to struggle in games like that, but they had to be almost perfect to beat a team like Duke. Can't rely on just Murray to lead this team. Going to need a full team effort, says 0835. Thank you very much for that. Matt in Fairfax, can't have Tony and Phillip taking more shots than Chris. Their shooting has to improve from three. Need to get Chris Murray some more shots. And I will, again, just like I said, basketball is a matchup sport, Mark. Say for the 28th time, Chris is not Keegan. Chris is a different player than Keegan. Needs to get a few more picks, et cetera, to get open. And doesn't quite finish inside as well as Keegan, but shoots it better from the perimeter. Now, he was didn't get a lot of shots from the perimeter last night. Duke had him in their crosshairs last night.
If you're an Iowa fan, would you rather the Hawkeyes beat Duke or Iowa State? That's not our poll question. It's my question. And I know for Hawkeye fans, the answer for many would be yes. Want the Hawkeyes to win both. But now, Iowa State is on the doorstep tomorrow, and we talked about the quick turnaround, and it's going to be very quick. Iowa State's going to be ready. Another bang-up game like tonight's game will be.
Tonight is going to be fun. I think tonight has a potential to be more fun than tomorrow night. I really do. The women's teams are both good. Iowa State has not won in Iowa City in a long time. Talking with Jeff Linder last night, who covers the Hawkeye women, it has been a long time since Iowa State has won at Carver Hawkeye. And it could happen tonight. And we'll see how Iowa – inside is where I'm looking tonight. Monica Sinano against Suarez for Iowa State. How is that going to play out? Monica Sinano can't have 4-5 shots in tonight's game like she did against North Carolina State. Iowa will not win.
I'm anxious to see Suarez, who was a two-time NAIA player of the year after coming over from overseas. And what she's doing at Iowa State right now, putting up really good numbers. 6'6", can handle the ball. Tough assignment for Zanano. It's going to be those complementary players, I think, on both teams that is going to decide this one, because Clark and Jones are going to get theirs, you have to believe.
Yeah, and they have in this series, both with averaging, well, they're within a couple points of one another as far as points in this series straight up are concerned. 319-366-1600. That is tonight, Iowa and Iowa State going at it as Cy-Hawk Week continues. Men tomorrow night. Wrestling was Sunday. We're going to talk about that with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, coming up here in just a couple of moments. And we also have a nice surprise out there that is provided by Mark and Josh Schamberger down in the Iowa City Coralville Convention and Visitors Bureau. We've got a couple of all-session tickets we're going to give away after we talk with Mark. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that.
World Cup Saturday and Sunday in Coralville, and nice of Mark to offer that. And you're not going to believe where he's going to be coming from today.
We're going to talk to Mark right after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine today with temperatures in the low to mid 40s this afternoon. We will have clear skies tonight with temperatures dropping down into the low 20s. Tomorrow we'll start off with some sunshine. Clouds will be building in as the day goes on. Temperatures will rise into the upper 30s. We are going to have rain and a bit of a wintry mix moving in the late afternoon tomorrow. There could be more of a transition to some sleet and snow tomorrow night. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up here in just a moment. We do have a poll question which deals with tonight's game very directly, Mark, and it's available to you to answer at KGYMradio.com.
Which team wins tonight's Cy-Hawk women's basketball game, Iowa State or Iowa? I know who Steve Anderson is rooting for at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. They set up shop Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Thanks, Steve, and the crew.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We bring in Mark Ironside. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And we started Cy-Hawk Week on Sunday with a very spirited Iowa and Iowa State get together on the mat at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And Mark was there. Mark is joining us from a deer blind.
Very remote area, but I do have cell phone reception in the deer blind. It's almost kind of like I'm cheating, but I'm not actually hunting. I'm sitting with my beloved mother who has a tag, and it's the last day of first season. So I'm out here enjoying a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. Almost too warm, way too warm for hunting, but it's a beautiful night to sit. So thank goodness for technology. We can still bring you the show from Southern Iowa in a deer blind.
Well, tell your mother hi.
She can hear you. She says hi back.
Okay, very good. And if you spot anything, you're going to call us back. So we don't want any problems.
Yeah, if you hear a big boom, that's good.
Very good. Well, there were a lot of booms on Sunday, weren't there? On the mat, off the mat. That was fun, man.
The biggest boom on Sunday came from Kobe Seabrook when he picked up his opponent, that Kaiser, and he had that body lock locked up. Kaiser had that overhook and his leg hooked to Kobe Seabrook. It's a very dangerous situation. So Kobe Seabrook knew that because the Kaiser had the overhook and Kobe's leg hooked. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You could throw him, but you could also get thrown with your momentum. And so he sat there for like 10 seconds thinking about, like, do I do it or not? What do I do here? And finally he mustered up enough courage and said, heck with it, and for a better terminology, and went with it. And when he picked him up and body slammed and put him down hard, it was hard. And that was the coolest thing in the whole dual meet. Just the mentality that he put into that and put him to his back. That was so cool.
Can you describe the scene and the sound when Spencer Lee came down the tunnel for his match?
It's something that we haven't seen in Carver Hawkeye Arena since before COVID, you know, when Spencer first came out, or Sam Stoll came out against Iowa State. When was that? Back in, was that 2020? I think maybe, or 18?
I think it was 18.
I don't know.
When
it came down to heavyweight, and Stoll hadn't wrestled all year. He was injured, but we really needed him to win that dual meet, just kind of like what we did this last Sunday with Spencer. We needed him to win the dual meet. And when he come out of that tunnel and We Will Rock You started playing, that place went nuts. And it's just such an awesome environment. And he came out like a house of fire, but obviously he got extremely tired, like so tired that everybody saw and could barely even make it back to the center of the walk. But he put quite a show on for that first period, and then it just hit him like a ton of bricks. That weight cut down first time, 1 hour weigh-in. And, you know, he put a lot of beef on in the off season, and he had to cut pretty hard to get down there. And if it was me and I was a coach and I just wanted to concentrate on collegiate wrestling, I'd just be having to wrestle 33. But a lot of it has to do with his international wrestling at the World Olympic level, where the weight class is 125.5. So he needs to get that body back down and adjusted to that weight. So that, you know, come June, when the trials are, even May this year, when he's going to take on someone like Thomas Gilman, he has to be feeling 100% top-notch, because if he would have wrestled Thomas Gilman on Sunday, it would not have been good. So he's got to get his natural body weight down to accustomed to making 25 and wrestling there, and that has a lot to do with why he's wrestling 25 this year, not 33.
Spencer Lee getting a victory, just 5-5 when you take a look at it between the two teams. The difference was bonus points that Iowa came up with Spencer Lee, Kobe Seabrook, like you talked about a little bit earlier on, and then Nelson Brands. And Nelson Brands came out, and you know what? It was very interesting, Mark, and I'll ask you about this. The strategy for both teams, it looked like the Brands has told Iowa, go out there quick, get points, get up on your opponent, and go from there. And it looked like what Kevin Dresser was doing was telling his guys, okay, sustain, 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 and then go hard at the end of each period. What'd you think about all that?
Well, I think for sure, especially, you know, you're pretty observant with going hard at the end of each period, and that's kind of a strategy. You know, that's a strategy that, you know, Johnson had against Mirren, a strategy that Bastida had against Warner, trying to score, you know, quick takedowns at the end of the period, almost like stealing a takedown real quick at the end of the period, 10, 15 seconds left, explode, hit a shot, boom, two, and there's no time for the guy to get away. And up to that point, though, you just kind of hang out and you stay in good position and try not to get, you know, scored on or scrambles and burn up too much energy. And that's the same thing with Estevano from the 133-pounder that wrestled Shriver, too. You know, those guys, very strategic, but at the same time, you know that's coming, and we allowed it to happen. And that's what's frustrating, is we allowed it to happen at 33, 49, and 97 for those specific three weights. We allowed it to happen, and you just cannot do that. You cannot. You work too hard every week in the room, training your tail off, making weight, getting down, to only wrestle towards the end and wait for, you know, a one match type of score to win the wrestling match. You're going to get burned. You're playing fire when you do that, especially against people that are really good and talented, like those three guys from Iowa State that I just mentioned.
Yeah, and 84 and 97, both 1-point losses for Iowa, but not against slouches by any means in Coleman and Bastida. What was your observations on those two matches?
Well, it's kind of like my daughter Hannah said when we got home that night, you know, with Assad. Like, how come he just wasn't coming up? Like, you know, that's a great question. You get on the leg and he kind of just sit there and hold on to that leg. And Coleman, you know, was doing a good job of defending the split and stuff. But you got to work hard there. You got to come up in the air. You've got to get him up, the leg up in the air and do the right things there. And Assad did a lot of the good things early where he's hitting head of the inside shots. And then that last shot that he got taken down on, he switched and went head outside. You go head outside, that's when guys cut corners on you. They're going to sneak around behind you. You got to have such quick, quick explosive finishes if you're hitting head outside shots. And he did not do that. He tried hanging on and gave up the takedown. He should have stuck to the inside, head to the inside shots. That's where he's good. That's where his shot, best shots where he just needs to get better finish in there. Warner, I don't know if he'll ever learn. Here we are. He's a senior now. He's done this his whole career. He waits to the end to try and win a lot of times. And then when he loses, he gets really, really upset. What I'd like to do is take a video camera and videotape him coming off the mat. And then right before he goes out and wrestles every time, after he lost, like last week when he was really mad, and video that and then show it to him right before he goes out on the mat the next time in a big match. But if you go back to the week before against Penn, you know, he came out hard. He scored 2 takedowns in the first period, and he got near fall. That's what wins the match for him. He ended up giving up 2 near falls himself, you know. But because he came out hard and he scored near falls when he didn't even need to, that's what allowed him to win the match. And that's how he got beat this week, by not coming out hard, not looking to score, trying to keep the score close, and waiting to the end to score. And you're not going to beat a guy like Bastida doing that. That's happened twice to him now. And it'll continue to happen until he starts coming out and wrestling in the first period and continues to wrestle hard throughout the whole match.
We almost take Tony Cacioppi for granted, Mark, in my mind, at heavyweight. With the match on the line, he's got to beat Skyler, who's banged up a little bit, and was favored in that match, but he still has to go out and do it.
Yeah, and I think the pressure got to him. I think he got his lead, and I think he kind of stopped moving his feet a little bit. Skyler got in on a shot on him later in that match and ended up taking us down. We didn't even really defend it at all. And then when we did get taken down, we just kind of like laid there and we give up a cradle. The head goes to our knee. It was ugly. It was bad. And it was nerve wracking because it was tight. And that cradle was tight. It was a good thing Cacioppi was wrestling someone that really didn't know what he was doing in that position, because if he did, that match would have been over and we lose the dual meet. But, you know, give credit. Cacioppi came out. He got the lead and he built a lead and he did a lot of good things. And he fought that cradle off. He broke the grip. But you have to continue to keep wrestling. You can't get lackadaisical in your wrestling and just hitting cruise control. Needed to stay on the offense, needed to stay on the attack, needed to keep looking for feet to back, and that would have never happened. He just got kind of lackadaisical and ends up giving takedown up and almost freaking getting cradled and losing dual meet.
Yeah. Mark Ironside joining us here as we talk college wrestling with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. I would pay to watch Real Woods and Swiderski wrestle for an entire day, man.
Yeah, that was a heck of a... I'll tell you what, I'm very, very impressed with Real Woods. You know, I've heard a couple of people say, well, his showboating tactics at the end, that wasn't very impressive, whatever. Well, you know, that's not real Woods. You know, he did that because his emotions were high. Swiderski, you know, was trying to fight him at the end. He was talking smack to him, and he stood up for himself. And you have to do that. And so he kind of started dishing it back, and I respect that. And he wouldn't have done that if Swiderski would have just, you know, taken it, you know, the loss like a champ and like he should, and say, yeah, I just got beat. I wasn't on my offense. He took me down early. He was in on 2 or 3 other shots. Swiderski, I tell you what, first time seeing him in wrestle, a true freshman out of Michigan, a 4-timer. That freaking kid, he can wrestle. He is good. And Real Woods is a real serious contender to win a national championship this year. And that Swiderski is for sure All-American material. No doubt about it. No slouch. I was very impressed. I just wasn't impressed with his attitude towards the end of the match at all, that kind of being a big baby.
Well,
could
I tell
have done
you,
more early and try to win the match instead of acting like a baby wanting to fight at the end.
I know that you guys, you and Steven, were talking about the Swiderski. He's a Michigan guy. I mean, that you were talking about Metcalf coming from there as well. That's a good guy to get up there. And this guy's better than number 10. I got a feeling they may meet again sometime down the line.
Very, very possible meeting at the NCAAs at some point in time. And it's going to be just as heated as it was in that match. The rivalry between those two is not going away, and it did not deaden out. That's a rivalry in the very beginning right there.
Kind of a different weekend for Iowa. The team goes to Chattanooga for like a one-off duel. And I know some of the Hawkeyes will be going to the UNI Open as well in Cedar Falls.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where the Chattanooga dual meet came up to play and why we're going there or what. You know, I don't ask those questions typically. I just get on the plane or the bus, wherever we're going, and then I show up, do the radio, and that's it. You know, and when I was wrestling, I just don't ask questions. Just get on the bus or the plane, wherever, go in, wrestle, and get back on and go home and take care of business, you know. So it is kind of odd, weird, but I know that we're not taking the whole squad again. It doesn't look like we're going to take Spencer and just kind of wrestle bits and pieces here and there. You know, Chattanooga doesn't really have much. They do have a couple of decent guys. The 33-pounder, I think, for them, I can't remember his name, but him and Schriever wrestled last year at the Southern Scuffle, and he beat Schriever in overtime. I think it was like 4-2. So that's a good match for Schriever. That'd be a really good match for Schriever to win there at 33. Neither one of them are ranked, and they're very close, but be a good opportunity for him to turn the tide. And then at 74, they got Rocky Jordan, who used to wrestle for Penn State. And I know Nelson wrestled him a couple years ago and beat him in a pretty close match. So that'll be another good match between two pretty even guys. You know, they're at 174. So 33, 74. The rest of them, we shouldn't have any problem. We should dominate our way, you know, through that dual meet.
Yep, and then it'll be a little bit of time off right there. Before we leave Iowa State, first of all, this is good for wrestling, though, man, to have this duel mean as much as it does now. You know, for a while, 5-7 years ago, this thing was just, you know, this was kind of an afterthought a little bit. And now, Iowa State is back up there. They're in the top 10 team, no doubt about it. They got a lot of young wrestlers that are good and going to be around a while. That was good for college wrestling on Sunday.
It was good for the state of Iowa. There's no doubt. Having a jam-packed full crowd at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, you know, hopefully the Iowa State fans took note. And so next year when it's Hilton Coliseum, we can sell that place out, you know, like we do Carver-Hawkeye Arena. But I don't know if we ever will. I mean, maybe that's a good challenge to Iowa State wrestling fans, is to try and fill up your arena and make it that kind of a rivalry and add to it. So especially when you go to Iowa State next year, you know, they're going to be loaded next year, and we're going to lose some guys. So, you know, they might even be on paper favored next year. So that might be the year. So it's been 18 years straight. So, you know, they're kind of overdue. But at the same time, you know, we like to just kind of keep stealing their thunder and keep dominating. And we did not dominate like this last Sunday. Like, worst case is Spencer and Real wrestles. Worst case scenario, we go 5-5, win on bonus points. And that's exactly what happened. That's like worst case scenario. We have to improve. We got to get better at wrestling. We got to get better at attacking and getting on the offense sooner in our matches towards the end of the year, so we can turn some of those losses, you know, into victories. We could have easily won 8-2 matches and blown that out of the water and been another dominating performance. So it's fun. Like you said, it'll make it fun for the fans and interstate rivalry and a lot of good smack talk and stuff like that. It makes things interesting.
If and when the time comes, Mark, let your mom take the shot, okay?
Oh, I don't have a license. I'm just in here for support and gutting,
okay.
and that kind of stuff. So she's all over it. She's 100% the trigger woman here today.
Hey, one question from the text line before we let you go. 9267 asking, is this close match going to help against Penn State down the line?
I think so. You know, I think it'll help against Chattanooga, for that matter. I think that hopefully, you know, if you're an athlete and you're a competitor and you don't let just, even if you won a close match like Real Woods, you know, I mean, he's going back and he's looking at film and how do I finish these shots on Swiderski better, you know? I mean, it doesn't really matter who your competition is, but it was a great dual meet to give you know, the Iowa Hawkeyes a lot to work on and go back and watch film and things to improve on in the room. And so yeah, to answer your question, it's going to better us against Chattanooga. It's going to better us against Penn State, and you just continue to keep building. But there's a lot to build on off of that dual meet. A lot of improvement to be made from us, for sure. I think Iowa State wrestled about as good as they probably could have, pretty close, whereas we have a lot of opportunity, a lot more opportunity for forward progress than what they do.
Hey, one more time. I know you got, we were going to talk about some tickets that you have graciously given us, all session tickets, two of them to the World Cup coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But one final time to talk about it. It's coming up, as I mentioned, Saturday and Sunday at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Details at worldcupcoralville.com. But yeah, if you liked last Sunday, you're going to love this weekend, man.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people talking about going this weekend, and especially on Sunday. For high school wrestlers that wrestle Saturday, they have ticket packages to go on Sunday. I was down dropping off some shirts today in the Iowa City Sports Area office, and they were getting ready to go pick up a couple of the teams coming in, flying in from overseas. There's a lot of excitement. The arena looks amazing in there, absolutely amazing, both inside and out. And it's going to be so cool to see. And like I said, even if you're just kind of a mediocre wrestling fan and you kind of like wrestling, you want to get your feet wet, you want to see something different, go watch the best in the world, both men and women, compete this Saturday and Sunday, and show these fans what you know, Iowa City, Coralville, Russelltown, USA is all about. And that's what I want for these athletes, because it's right in our own backyard. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not going to Chattanooga. I'm coming here. I'm going to go watch that World Cup. And I point blank told Tom, like, I'm sorry, I'll see you guys the rest of the year, but I don't want to miss this World Cup. I'm really, really looking forward to watching these top-level athletes compete at the highest level that there is.
Is Iowa wrestling gear coveted by Iranian and Japanese wrestlers?
Are they what?
Is Iowa wrestling gear coveted? Is that something they would buy?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, maybe. I don't know.
We're going to find out on that, okay?
Yeah, maybe. So, I don't know. Maybe we need to, maybe before they go back to the airport on Sunday, they need to drive up to Iowa Style Apparel and just shop.
There you go. Hey, Mark, good luck to you and your mother. And going to be a lot of fun this weekend. And we'll talk about that and more wrestling coming up next week. So
yeah,
thanks.
Next week we'll be able to talk about Chattanooga and then also some results from the World Cup and how that went and so forth. So I look forward to it. Appreciate it, guys. From Southern Iowa, I'm signing off.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Mark Ironside's Parents, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. Kurt's going to be very happy Mark is calling from a deer blind. That just made Kurt's day, ladies and gentlemen, knowing him. All right. And as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to pick up the two tickets, all session tickets. These are amazing tickets that Mark has provided for us. And please only call if you are here Saturday and Sunday. You can use them. Want to make sure those seats are filled down at Extreme Arena for World Cup Wrestling. So we've got a pair of all-session tickets going out right now. Caller number 6, Ben, at 319-366-1600. And again, that is 319-366-1600. Only if you can use them both days, please call. And thank you very much to Mark, everybody out there, for helping us out with that. We'll take a break, come back, and let you know who our winner is. Plus, we will get ready for Chris Liss. Your fantasy football questions, get them in now at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Back after this.
There's always something special at Seagulls. Eagles holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling are at 40 to 70% off retail savings. Tennis bracelets and diamond studs, both laboratory grown and mined, 50% off. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Located one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Eagles.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the light to get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm gonna go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
We want to congratulate Terry from Cedar Rapids. He is the winner of the tickets, all session tickets. And again, thanks to Mark and Josh for helping us out with that. Chris List is going to join us now at 3:40 here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Iowa State women coming up tonight. That is the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. If you would like to check that out and answer, Iowa or Iowa State? We'll give our prediction before we go here. We will do that. Before we get Chris on the line here, also, the Kentucky Wildcats and Will Levis announcing today he is going to skip the Music City Bowl. So Kentucky will also have a backup quarterback. No, I don't know if it will be Deuce Hogan.
Not surprising. Levis considered a first-round draft pick in the next NFL draft. And so you're down to the number three for Iowa, the number two, supposedly, for Kentucky. Expect a defensive game. Maybe a boring game. I don't know.
Or it could be a great game. Who knows?
It could be.
It could be. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Get your fantasy football questions in right now. That's 319-366-1600. It's Chris List from Real Man Sports. And in conjunction with the good folks at rotowire.com joining us as well. And happy Wednesday to you, Chris. I guess it's not if you are a owner of Jimmy Garoppolo, and that is your second San Francisco 49er quarterback to go down for the year this year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They lost both guys. They were, you know, talking about you're going to trade Garoppolo. It's like, oh, good thing you didn't trade Garoppolo. You need him. Well, now they may as well have traded him. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, I'm a little worried because of my high stakes league, which looks like it made the playoffs, and already won a little bit of money. I got George Kittle, and you know that Garoppolo injury can affect Kittle and Ayuk and Debo Samuel. You know, so there's some cascade effects. But yeah, we'll see how Brock Purdy does in his place.
That was going to be my next question to you, Brock Purdy, and 49ers love him. They believe in him. I think they're giving him the keys. So we'll see how this all plays out. He's got a lot of weapons around him, though.
Yeah, it's a real wild. It's like, you know, when you pick up George Pickens, right? I mean, Kenny Pickett. And you're like, well, they've got George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris. You know, maybe he'll do something. You know, he hasn't really done much. So that's the more likely outcome. But it's possible, right? The other problem is the Niners have a really good defense. And you could see Kyle Shanahan just, you know, trying to control the game on the ground with his, you know, his rookie quarterback.
10-17 on the text line, Chris, needs a running back in a full PPR. One of three, Pacheco, Cam Akers, or Jeff Wilson?
Man, I'd probably go Pacheco. But Denver's really tough against the pass. They're not as good against the run. Jeff Wilson was a little banged up, and Mostert was back. And then who's the other guy with Cam Akers? Man, how weird would it be if Cam Akers was a big factor in the fantasy playoffs after the year he's had? I guess I'll go Pacheco, but it's close.
Well, it's interesting because Jeff Wilson, yeah, as you mentioned, I think Wilson only had like one or two targets and only one carry for Miami in that game against San Francisco last week, as Mostert took over the leading role, if you will, for Miami last week.
I think Wilson left with an injury and came back and was okay, but it's just, you know, you don't really know. I think Wilson is still the lead guy, but it's not quite as good a situation as Pacheco has.
319-366-1600. Get your fantasy questions in for Chris here. Also, at quarterback, Tua, Kyle Murray, that's Kyler Murray, or Dak Prescott?
Yeah. I'm going to say probably Tua. Well, Tua and Dak. Houston actually is terrible against the run. They're okay against the pass. I'll probably say Tua. And then Kyler Murray is facing New England. I'll say Tua. Close
down. Stats were not good. What did you see out of Deshaun Watson?
Oh, he looked terrible.
He
was throwing the ball at people's feet. He threw a terrible pick in the red zone. Is it just rust and he hasn't really played since 2020? Or is it that, you know, it's pretty embarrassing to be publicly, you know, accused plausibly of what he did and have to go, you know, play again? And what does that do to your confidence and ability to go out there and do your thing? Hard to say, but you know, I think now you got to, you know, now we're getting toward the fantasy playoffs, and you don't know if you can use this guy. So who knows, right? I'd probably, depending on who you have, you still have top five upside, so I wouldn't get rid of him. But he looked bad.
How about the Baltimore quarterback situation? Tyler Huntley looks like he's going to be in. It sounds like Lamar is going to be out for, at the minimum, a week, and maybe up to 3 weeks. We'll have to wait and see anyway. And how about picking up Tyler Huntley or a Brock Purdy for this week?
I'd probably go Purdy over Huntley, and the risk of making a bad joke, but it's ugly, because at Pittsburgh, you know, Huntley, I mean, that's Pittsburgh's defense hasn't been great this year, but T.J. Watt is still kind of rounding into form, and on the road in Pittsburgh in December, and, you know, I don't know if J.K. Dobbins is going to play, but they've got their backup running backs. They got their back, you know, Rashad Bateman's out. All they have is Mark Andrews. The only, you know, he's been playing hurt. What a decimated team. And they lost players everywhere. And now you got this backup QB. And they're well coached, but I would not use Huntley. I'd use Purdy over him.
I know it has very little to do with fantasy football. Do you like ties in the NFL?
Should we have a shootout or something? We should have like a field goal kicking shootout. You know, you start at 30, you match 35, 40, you keep going back. And then Justin Tucker would get like a huge contract. But, yeah, I don't love the tie. You know, I'm a Giants fan, and we did have a chance to hit that field goal. It was a great game. I was a little disappointed by that, but it's okay. It's not ideal. You know, it would be cool if they had, you know, I don't know, the two biggest players on the team fight each other at midfield.
Hey, kudos to the Giants, though, for bringing back the 1980s throwbacks. That was awesome. I was waiting to
see. No, it was good. They played well. I mean, I don't call them the Commanders. I don't believe that. The football team, had won like 6 out of 7 or something and were playing well, and the Giants are decimated, and it was a good game.
0909, Mahomes or Geno?
I mean, I think you got to go Mahomes. Just like, and Denver's a nasty matchup with their corners and their pass defense, and they don't score points, so they don't make you put your foot on the gas, but you got to go Mahomes, I think.
I would agree against Denver right there. By the way, Patrick should not run anymore, jump, and try to get touchdowns. That was very scary. Very scary. Don't do that again. 2436, our friend Ralph from Riverside asking Chris your thoughts about your Giants tight end returning after that eye injury that he suffered.
Yeah, you know, he came back. He made a couple catches. I mean, he might end up being good because rookie tight ends rarely do anything, and he's been productive when healthy. But in terms of using him, I mean, he could do something against the Eagles. But, you know, there's just that vast. Kate Otten had a good game, and he only had 26 yards. There's like 10 of these guys that I have on a couple of teams. That guy in Tennessee, I can't pronounce his name. He's been making plays. There's just a lot of tight ends there in that sort of Shigoziam Okonkwo. On Tennessee has been making plays. But, you know, it's been tough to find a tight end that will do anything.
1250 is in a PPR league and has DeAndre Hopkins, but four questionable other receivers. Is there a sleeper waiver pickup for him?
At receiver, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's somebody you could pick up that, you know, that somebody who'd be available that would do good. I mean, if Nico Collins is available, maybe he probably isn't. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been quietly productive. Terrace Marshall, maybe. DJ Chark had a good game last week. He looks like he's finally healthy. Gets a good matchup against the Vikings. Maybe DJ Chark would be a guy who's available.
If you were, 319-366-1600 here on the gym class program on KGYM, which 1017 asking which opponent is the best to play against? Like, for example, the Houston Texans trying to find a defense for this week. They have Denver. The Broncos going up against the Chiefs this week.
You want to find a starting defense that you want to start a defense against a weak opponent, basically.
Correct.
That's what you're looking for.
Correct.
Yeah. So, obviously Cowboys defense is own, but you can get Houston. The Chiefs at Denver is a pretty good one, right? I mean, Denver's offense has been horrible. They might be available. You could go to the Raiders, who will almost certainly be available at the Rams. Rams are a disaster. You go to the Steelers against Huntley. You can go to the Seahawks against the Panthers. So those are a few defenses facing some soft offenses.
With Trevor Lawrence's situation day-to-day, C.J. Beathard probably in. Tennessee would be a good pick.
that is a viable pick. What is the latest on Trevor Lawrence? Because I have him in my most important league. Plans to play Sunday, it says. It says left until he feels better than it has over the past few days. So looks like Lawrence may play. Not that Lawrence is so great, but definitely better than C.J. Beathard.
Chris, just asking for someone that you may know or may be talking with. Quarterbacks, Huntley, Pickett, White, or Purdy. What do you think would be a good one to pick up?
Huntley, Pickett, White, and Purdy. Let me look into this. Because Huntley, probably not against the Steelers. White has been slinging the ball around.
Playing Buffalo.
Buffalo is like being one of the – I'm looking at those stats against Buffalo. Buffalo's toughest against quarterbacks. And so then Purdy gets the Niners are playing the – Purdy is getting
– Niners of Tampa Bay.
Tampa, which usually was tough, but now they're the 10th toughest. And then who's the last one? Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, Baltimore's been somewhat generous, and he's got his weapons. Pickett or Purdy, I would say. And for the coin, I might go Pickett.
Or just roll with my man, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff is getting – I would go with Jared Goff for sure.
Oh, yeah, we will. We need a backup, though, man, for the next time one of my quarterbacks gets hurt.
then you got to go with – look at the matches. But, Goff. You can't really trust that much, but against the Vikings, I would use Goff over those guys by far.
It'll be a high-scoring affair, no doubt about that. We hope that your Giants don't tie again this week, so best of luck to them. By the way, Washington Giant game part two going to be on Sunday Night Football flexed in, so there you go. America wants to see more of that.
We need to see the rematch. That's the thing. They should say winner take all. You know, like whoever wins gets two wins, and they just get rid of the tie. The team is off this week, so they're playing the Giants two games in a row.
Crazy right
What's
there.
Up with Portugal running it up in their last game of the World Cup?
I know. We were watching, it was ridiculous. And now we get Morocco instead of Spain, you know, which Spain would have probably been favored. But so I'm going to say we, since I'm, you know, applying for some a passport, you know, we're favored to go to the semifinals now, you know, and then you get the winner of England, France, which would be tough. But it's going to go bananas here. I mean, people, it's insane if they were to win the World Cup, this would be insane.
I mean, burn couches like West Virginia or more. We'll see. All right. Chris, hey, appreciate the information, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy. Good luck.
Chris Liss joining us from Real Man Sports, and you can check him out right there and, of course, at rotowire.com as well. We'll come back and get you a Bowling Night in America preview when we return after this in the Gym Class on KGYM.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw, it's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Get organized with help from Menards and Dakota. Whether you need a spot for extra storage or want to add an accent to your living space, Dakota has the shelf for you. With a variety of attractive finishes, you're bound to find a shelf to match your style. Dakota also offers a wide array of customizable, easy-to-install closets for your renovation needs. Get yours today at Menards. Plus, get a Menards gift card, the perfect gift this season.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. And we'll get to that preview coming up in a moment. Want to get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update real quick. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall.
Minnesota Golden Gophers like to give extensions. They gave another one to P.J. Fleck, the head football coach, through 2029. So Fleck apparently will be around for a little while longer. A lot of baseball news. The Cardinals acquired Wilson Contreras, formerly the Cubs, 5 years, $87.5 million. Aaron Judge re-signed with the Yankees after some sloppy reporting yesterday afternoon about him going to the Giants, but he will be back with the Yankees. And the Cubs added a couple of nice pieces. Jameson Taillon, good arm.
Yeah.
And Cody Bellinger, who, if he can return to form, be a nice piece.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see on that, on the ladder. Farmer's good. Farmer's a good signing, though. Just another example of you root for a shirt with Wilson Contreras. Watch how fast Cub fans forget about him, and the Cardinal fans will embrace him. That'll be fun to watch this spring and summer. Bowling Night America preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The home of Bowling Night in America. To be the best, you have to beat the best. Mark Dukes.
That's exactly true. Far right, lanes 31 and 32 tonight, right under the TV where you can watch the Iowa State women, Scott. It's a matchup, Rusty Nails against first place Durline Scale. Shout out to Chad Durline, one of the members of that team who had back surgery last week, and wish the best for him. But Rusty Nails sitting in fourth place, trying to hang with a formidable team. And one last item in regard to bowling. Local curling expert and friend of the show, Lon Pepper, at May City Bowl over the weekend, shot 300, but didn't have an 800. two perfect games after starting with a 199. He messaged me that and can't have a 800 without a 200. But back-to-back perfect games. Way to go, Lon.
Nice job, Lon. Appreciate it. And we'll have a wrap-up tomorrow. Kevin Lehman will join us. We'll take a look back at the women's game tonight and preview Iowa State men coming up tomorrow. Todd and Alex coming your way next on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier.